Welcome back to AEIOU, a podcast about Austria. This is Thames Darwin. In the last episode, we discussed the reign of Maria Theresa as Empress of Austria. In this episode, we'll have a look at how the Habsburg monarchy changed under her rule, as well as that of her son, Emperor Joseph II. To do that, we should first take a step back and talk about the Enlightenment. We last discussed the Enlightenment in episode 5. The important thing to reiterate here is that, after the 30 Years' War and what was, more or less, the final settlement of religious conflict in Europe, an era of scientific and philosophical advancement began that lasted until the French Revolution, or around 150 years. Chief among the political philosophers from this period was the Englishman John Locke, and the political philosophy with which he is commonly associated is called liberalism. If you're American, you probably think you know what liberalism is, but in fact, you don't. What we call liberalism in the United States is called by various names overseas: progressivism, social democracy, etc. When Europeans use the word liberalism, what they mean is a political ideology marked by a combination of political equality for all people, small government, maximal personal freedom, and the rule of law. Often, market capitalism is associated with liberalism thanks to the contributions of the Scottish philosopher Adam Smith. This was the political philosophy adopted first in the UK. And then by the founders of the United States. Liberalism will have a major impact on Austrian history, but not just yet. Instead, Austria's immediate trajectory will follow the other major political outcome of the Enlightenment, which is something called enlightened absolutism or enlightened despotism. This Enlightenment political tradition was what caught on in Central and Eastern Europe while liberalism took root in the West. Enlightened despotism adopted some of the characteristics of liberalism, but retained a strong, centralized state and ruler. The quintessential enlightened absolute monarch of the Enlightenment is often considered to be King Frederick the Great of Prussia, under whom one of the great philosophers of the Enlightenment, Immanuel Kant, wrote some of his most influential works. Other enlightened despots include Peter the Great and Catherine the Great of Russia, Frederick VI of Denmark, and Maria Theresa and Joseph II of Austria. So what was it like in the Habsburg monarchy under Maria Theresa? It was a mix of more traditional absolutism and enlightened despotism. On the one hand, she was a traditionalist when it came to religion. Like the rest of her family, Maria Theresa was Catholic. Early in her reign, she aligned herself with the Society of Jesus, whose members were then and are still commonly known as the Jesuits. Founded in the 16th century in Spain, the Jesuits had formed the vanguard in the spread of Catholicism in the Americas. In the 17th century, they had played a key role in the Counter-Reformation, which was led, as we have already learned, largely from Vienna. The Jesuits were highly influential by Maria Theresa's reign, and they had already been suppressed in some regions where secular rulers feared their power. Maria Theresa's own court denounced the Jesuits on this basis, and so by the second half of her reign, she had distanced herself from the society and participated in the papal ban on the order that came down from Pope Clement XIII in 1773. Outside Catholicism, Maria Theresa's traditional stance on religion took on tyrannical dimensions. Bearing in mind that much of Catholic theology was inherently anti-Jewish until the 1960s, it is perhaps unsurprising that Maria Theresa was hostile to Austria's Jewish population. Among the ways in which this hostility manifested was in her proposal early in her reign to expel all Jews from Bohemia. This plan was ultimately abandoned due to concerns about the economic effects of such a move. The Archduchess also regarded the remaining Protestants under Habsburg rule with hostility, advocating for forced conversion to Catholicism and even expulsion. Another area in which Maria Theresa was conservative was in diplomacy. Like her predecessors, she engaged in diplomacy by marriage. She and her husband Emperor Francis had 16 children, most of whom survived to adulthood and were married to scions of other European dynasties. As noted, the eldest child who survived to adulthood, Joseph, would become Holy Roman Emperor upon his father's death and ruler of Austria after his mother's death. Another son, Leopold, would succeed his brother when Joseph died. A third son, Ferdinand, married Maria Beatrice of Este, the Duchess of Massa, and through their union, they founded the House of Habsburg-Este. The youngest son, Maximilian, in the tradition of noblesse oblige, took holy orders and eventually became the Archbishop Elector of Cologne. Of four daughters who married, all of whom were named Maria but given different middle names, Maria Christina married the Duke of Teschen, Maria Amalia married the Duke of Parma, Maria Carolina married King Ferdinand of the Two Sicilies, and Maria Antonia married the Dauphin Louis, the heir apparent to the French throne, and became known thereafter by her French name, Marie Antoinette. We should probably take a moment here to comment on why parents would give the same name to their daughters. To answer this question, it's important to remember the role of infant baptism in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was not unique, either then or now, in baptizing infants. However, until 1965, the Catholic Church taught that children who died without being baptized did not go to heaven. Instead, they went to a place called limbo, a sort of purgatory for those who die without having original sin erased. Because infant mortality was so high until the 19th century, including among royalty, it was necessary to baptize one's child as soon as possible. However, baptism requires that the baby have a name, either the name of a saint or a biblical name. In German-speaking countries, Johann, which translates into John in English, became the most common baptismal name for boys, while Maria, which translates in English into Mary, the mother of Jesus, became the most common name for girls. The tradition really stuck and well into the period in which one could reasonably assume that one's infant would survive into adulthood. Babies were still named either Johann or Maria, with the middle name being the distinguishing moniker. As someone of Austrian ancestry who has researched his family tree, I can assure you that there is no shortage of Johanns and Marias in the registers of Austrian parish churches, where this information was traditionally recorded. To return to our story, despite Maria Theresa's rigid Catholicism and her traditional pursuit of Austrian foreign policy, her reign was nevertheless marked by reforms in multiple areas. For instance, under Maria Theresa, control of the army was centralized from provincial control to Vienna. Second, to raise money for this new centralized military, a peacetime tax was levied for the first time on the landed gentry. This was not the only economic policy introduced by Maria Theresa with wide-ranging effects on Austrian society. First, as noted in the previous episode, the Seven Years' War had resulted in the loss of Silesia to Prussia. Silesia had been among the most industrialized regions under Habsburg rule, and cognizant of the need for industry to keep the Austrian economy afloat, Maria Theresa instituted free market policies designed to attract some of the Silesian industries to relocate to Bohemia, a policy that was largely successful. Bohemia became a sort of laboratory for additional economic and social reforms under Maria Theresa. She instituted policies there designed to alleviate some of the burden on the serfs, thereby setting the precedent for more progressive policies under her son Joseph, who would abolish serfdom entirely. Another major area of reform under Maria Theresa was education. We noted in an earlier episode her founding of
Theresianum.
Thank you, Florian. She also founded the military academy at Wiener Neustadt. In addition, despite her aforementioned hostility to non-Catholics, Maria Theresa sanctioned the admission of non-Catholic students to Austrian universities for the first time. Later in her reign, learning of the still widespread condition of illiteracy in the Habsburg monarchy, the Archduchess undertook reform of the monarchy's primary schools. She established public secular schools and introduced compulsory education, as a result achieving almost universal literacy in Vienna by the early 19th century. A final point to note about Maria Theresa's reign is the addition of territory to the Habsburg monarchy during her reign. In response to Russian victory over the Ottoman Empire and Russia's increasing influence in Central Europe, the aforementioned King Frederick the Great of Prussia suggested partitioning Polish land among Russia, Prussia, and Austria, thereby establishing spheres of influence and buffer zones. Maria Theresa initially resisted the partition because of its negative effects on the Poles, who, like her, were Catholic. Ultimately, she agreed and acquired Galicia as a result. This annexation resulted in a substantially larger Slavic population under Habsburg rule than before. In addition, it added a very large Jewish population. A few years later, Maria Theresa acquired Bukovina from the Ottomans as a result of yet another Ottoman loss to Russia. With Bukovina came additional Ukrainians and Jews, as well as Romanians. For the last 15 years of her reign, Maria Theresa's son Joseph occupied the throne of the Holy Roman Empire, and in recognition of his accession, the Archduchess named her son as co-ruler of the Habsburg domains. The mother and son co-reigned until Maria Theresa's death in 1780. During this period, as the senior member of the partnership, Maria Theresa held sway over her son. During the period of co-rule, Joseph's most significant contribution was in the brief War of the Bavarian Succession in 1778 and 79. The war was occasioned by the death of Maximilian, the Elector of Bavaria, and, with it, the extinction of the Wittelsbach dynasty. Joseph sought to acquire Bavaria for the Habsburgs but was opposed by Prussia and Saxony, which sought to place a Wittelsbach cousin on the Bavarian throne instead. The treaty that ended the war, called the Treaty of Teschen, represented a compromise. On the one hand, Prussia and Saxony succeeded in keeping Bavaria in the hands of the Wittelsbachs. The Wittelsbachs would continue to rule Bavaria until the end of World War I. On the other hand, with the Treaty of Teschen, the Habsburg monarchy acquired the Innviertel, a region of Bavaria adjacent to Upper Austria. Among the towns that became Austrian with this annexation was Braunau am Inn, birthplace of the most famous Austrian of them all. If it weren't for Emperor Joseph, Hitler might have been born someplace else. In 1780, Maria Theresa died and left Joseph as sole ruler of Austria. That's where we'll pick up in the next episode. Thanks for listening.